Welcome to Hmong Bays, building awareness and empowerment through Hmong experiences.
We're bringing you stories from all generations of our Hmong community to talk about social justice issues.
Now let's go back in time to Laos during the 1970s. Imagine the sky rumbling as plane drops bombs, the continuous violent pops of gunfire. Imagine looking down at your own body to see that it looks different. A bullet has torn your own body.
This is what happened to my grandfather, Nye Po Shong. We're going to talk about his story today as we take a look at historical trauma. I'm Cao Shang.
And I'm John Vu.
Historical trauma is emotional and psychological wounding that happens to a specific group of people across generations resulting from large terrible events.
Those terrible events that happen to our parents, grandparents, and ancestors deeply affect us today.
In this episode of Hmong Bays, we share a group discussion we had on how the traumas of our older generation has affected who we are as young Hmong people. But first, we will continue my grandfather's story of the war.
So, how do you feel about your grandfather's story, Cao?
I was touched deeply by the story. It has made me realize how much my grandfather went through. I have a lot of respect for him and my people.
Most of us young Hmong people have elders like your Yo. I know I can respect how my parents risked their lives to get here. They've been through a lot, and I respect them for overcoming those obstacles. But I wonder, do you think these hardships have influenced the way our parents and our grandparents raised us?
Yes, definitely. I also mentioned this in our group discussion, that the interrupted grief Guyo experienced was passed down in a way.
Let's hear more about interrupted grief from other members of Hmong Bays.
How would you describe historical trauma to your younger siblings or younger cousins?
If I'm going to say it's my younger cousins, then I would, I guess, tell them a less, I guess, more PG or less gory version. Probably tell them that it's like a terrible event, such as, for example, you fell off your bike for the first time and you hit yourself really hard. Then you'd know that it's scary, right, to fall again, and then it'll stay with you until you forget about it, or until you don't forget about it. And then you will also be telling your friends that you fell off, and for them to be careful as well. And therefore, you pass on this story or this experience.
Can we talk a little bit about how historical trauma looks today in the Hmong community?
Like my parents, they're always saying like, oh, we are girls, we are not allowed to stay out too late. But it's a different story for guys, because mm-hmm. they're like, oh, they can stay as late as they want, because that's a different story as us back then when we were allowed for like that. With girls, they're always like, never come home, or like, they worry about girls more than guys, because their parents know that the guys are stronger and they can protect themselves.
And I guess it's connected as to how the parents are also passing down the fear onto their children, even though they're living in a different land, different area. Maybe it's more secure here, but they don't know that. All they remember is that terrible event, or that, I guess, historical trauma of their kids being kidnapped or being, I guess, taken away forcefully.
I think that it also has to do with like how our grandmas look what they are. And they take such good care of it because, like, it's so, like, precious to them. Mm-hmm. Because, like, back then they would always have to, like, move, like, constantly move because they don't have, like, a place to stay because, like, mm-hmm. they have to be somewhere safe in order to grow things. And so they don't have that kind of, like, opportunity to stay in one place and, like, grow what they want, you know, to survive. And so that's why, like, when we're here, like, they're like, oh, we have to grow a garden because it's really important. You know, and so like, I think it's something that really causes like what causes the historical trauma as well, because it scares them that they won't have enough food. So that's why they take such good care of it in order to like survive.
I think my parents right now are gardening in their garden, and just recently we got our floors done at home. But what my parents worried about was the refrigerators downstairs, because we're doing the floors downstairs too. And my mom had me move all the frozen vegetables from one freezer to another. And I bring this up because my dad, like, I seen photos of him back in Laos and Thailand, and he was like really scrawny and really like bony. And like, I've seen him now, he's really big, and I was like, okay, you're good. You're not starving anymore.
So having the refrigerators and having all that food stocked up is kind of a reflection of how, you know, during the war they didn't have enough food.
Yeah.
And so it's like now their response to that is to have all this food ready all the time in case something bad happens.
Yeah. Yeah, like how many of y'all have like more than two freezers in your basement, right?
I have, we have two freezers in our basement.
We have four in our garage.
We have three in our basement and one outside.
Yeah. I have like a freezer downstairs and a fridge downstairs, and then outside in the garage I have two freezers and another refrigerator. Mm. Yeah.
My family has two refrigerators and two freezers, two big freezers too. And it's funny because we used to have them both downstairs in our basement, both big freezers. But now, over the years, right, we have stopped using it a little more and more. So we don't actually fill it up as much, and we have moved one of the big freezers outside. That freezer is not as full as it used to be from when I remember growing up. And I wonder if that is a manifestation of how things have kind of changed now, or how they have healed. My parents have healed over time, right, to not depend on that freezer as much. There can be a lot of reasons too.
So I have a question. Okay, let's start with this question.
Yeah.
Do you guys now invite people over because you think your house is really like trashy?
Sometimes.
Like, I think like, oh, this white person must not want to come over to my house if I'm friends with them, because my house is probably not as good as their house. That's what I think, and I think it's pretty funny. Because, like, they probably got, like, a lot of stuff that, like, I don't have. I'm like, oh, okay. They probably don't want to be friends with me if they come over and stuff like that.
Why? Why do you think like that?
Because they got privilege, better stuff. Like, I don't know. I've always seen, like, nice stuff and, like, their houses. I look at my stuff. I was like, oh, this vacuum's, like, not as good as their vacuum. Or our sink's not as, like, you can tap your sink and it turns on. Like, whoa. It's just, that's like.
I wanted to relate to the part when you said that, how your house looked trashy, you know? That, like, so I have a grandma. She's a hoarder. She likes to, like, even the oldest clothes, like, when I was a kid, she would, like, still keep those clothes, you know? She was like, oh, just in case, we don't have enough money, and this clothes will be for, you know, when you have a baby, you know? But it's kind of like, it's gross, though, because, like, why would I want that, you know? But then the thing is that, like, I understand, though, because when back then they were so poor, you know, and they couldn't afford the things that we want now, you know? And so that's why she hoards these things and she doesn't want to get rid of them. And that's why she wants to reuse it as much as she can, you know?
I have an example. It's my papers from school. Yeah. You know, like my paper, I found this drawer in the basement when I moved home after college, right after I graduated. And I found this drawer in the basement full of notebooks from elementary school, from like, and papers with my teacher's like comments on, you know, how I spelled the word cat. You know, all the stuff that I had went through school and done, and my dad had kept all of it because he was the one that took us to the library growing up all the time and taught me to love reading books. And he really valued education, so because he didn't have the opportunity, and my dad loves learning, right? So he knows three languages. He like tried to go to school even in the refugee camps that when they offered classes, and he was giving us opportunity that he never had.
This is actually something my mom, Lurzong, talked to me about when I asked her about her refugee experience. After she shared how hard it was escaping Laos and surviving in the Thai refugee camps, she also said that coming to America was a challenge.
因为过去当头，因为去暴露，诶，前因去当那去当好，因长年更高，路线路子因开去到到冷地，啊，有走五天两天好了，因走了三几道，路远远海里的路海。
It makes sense why education is so important to our elders. Not having the knowledge to make the situation better or access resources made them feel helpless. So obviously, they wouldn't want their children to go through that same experience.
Yeah, hearing this story made me realize why my parents just told me to go to school and come back home and study, and not to play outside with my friends.
We actually talked about this in our group discussion, too.
How do you think trauma has affected how your parents have raised you?
Like, where we need to stay in the house. Like, they want to keep us safe, so they kind of lock us in the house. Because yeah. They're so scared that, like, we might get harmed outside.
That's true. That's what happened to me. Well, I grew up and, you know, you're a kid, you're always curious, you want to go outside all the time. But then your parents are like, no, you got to stay home. They kind of like force you in. You can't really do anything about it and you stay in. And then you don't really go out to meet like nature, be like a kid. But you know, I still did it anyways. I still snuck out, so. And I also remember because I wanted to play out so much, but then my parents didn't really want me to go outside. like, it was to the point of desperation where, like, you're so thirsty. While you're a kid, you're playing outside, but then you don't want to go home just to get a drink because they'll notice you, and then they'll shut you in, and then you won't be able to go out. So you'll, like, you'll ask your friends. You'll be like, hey, can I go into your house to take a drink? And then if your friends are, like, the same as, you know, as in the same position, I can't because my parents won't let me back out. And then you'll be like, okay, let's go find some water somewhere else.
What about you, Yi? You brought this up. Do you feel like it's different?
Well, yeah, definitely. It's different, especially because, like, I'm a girl. I think that it happened more often back in war where there was rape. That was more often. So I think that, like, especially the woman in the house, they're really scared. And so that's why, like, they would always want to, like, keep me in the house, you know, because they're afraid that, like, things like that would happen, you know?
Lena?
Like, I can relate to her as a Hmong daughter, the war and stuff, rape. And basically, I'm like around my area, there's like a lot of Black people, and like they worry about that because through in the past, like bad things had been to like Hmong people, and like the gang thing evolved.
What do you mean by the gang thing?
My parents, they didn't like, they're kind of racist to Mi'kmaq people and Kidu, but they're racist to Kidu more because around my area, there's only shooting crimes or like hurting, or like some nights that we hear like police chasing people through our fence, or like people just running or like yelling.
Yeah, going off of what Lena said, I remember like I had this Kidu friend that really wanted to come over to my house and just hang out, right? Because like I wanted to build this relationship with him. But then it all comes back to that, like, no, don't like go out, don't like go talk to like anyone, just stay inside where you're safe. And to that, like, Jinyang. So I brought him over, and then like he didn't even make it into my house. He just stood outside, and like my mom told me to like force him to go back home, and I really didn't have a choice. So I just told him to, I'll see you at school, and then that's when like the relationship started to like crumble. So I barely talked to them after that because of my parents.
Where do you to think that they got those ideas from, of like that Black people are bad and my kids shouldn't hang out with them and I don't like them?
I think media and gang violence is probably what my parents are influenced by, because I remember my brothers, when they went to Logan, there was always a lot of like Hmong and Kidu gang fights, and I'm guessing my parents probably didn't like that, like, my brothers were going to a school with a lot of gangs.
Like, my parents sometimes, like, when they pick me up from school or, like school events, they always see me around Black people. And, like, when I come home, my dad would be like, oh, why you could, like, hang out with Kidu people? Like, you need to stop hanging out with them, hang your own race.
If you hung out with white people, would they say that too?
I don't really have white friends.
What do you think they would say?
It might be a different story.
I think I could probably relate to Yi, because as a kid, I grew up like so like secured, like wrapped around my parents, that like I didn't really like, I wasn't really talkative really. Like I could have been talkative, but I think the way my parents like raised me up, they raised me up so protectively that I didn't have like the chance to make friends as much as I could have, because I could have like hanged out with them, go to their parties, but instead I followed my parents, and they were like, don't go out, don't play with them. So I didn't. One time my friend invited me to his birthday party, but then I rejected it without even like letting my parents know, because, well, my parents, they raised me so in a way to like don't have like fun and stuff, that I rejected it myself. Because I knew, you know, it was, I guess, the wrong thing to do. Not wrong, but yeah, I shouldn't do this. That was my mindset back then. And I think that's kind of what happens when your parents are too overprotective.
Yeah, and then you weren't as like well-rounded as you wanted to be, yeah. Right? Like, you wanted to go out and be that like that talkative kid that wanted to be everybody's friend. But
instead of that, I just started to go home, repeat.
Once we understand how historical trauma affects us as a people, then we can see how it affects and changes our behaviors and how it changes our culture. Whether that's good, like maybe it makes us really studious and we want to learn new things because we never had the chance to, or it makes us act in negative ways where we don't want to talk to people or where we're really racist towards other people.
I think that if we can recognize how those traumas affect our behavior and affect our culture, I think then we can both understand it and honor it, and also heal and move past it without forgetting it, and use all of that to create something new and better.
Thanks for listening to Hmong Bays.
Check out more of our podcasts where we talk about how pressure to fit in the American culture is pushing us away from our Hmong culture.
All right, one, two, three.
Hmong Bays!